As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Today on Tim and Sid and Faisal, we'll talk to Christine Sinclair, who lives to score goals for her country.
The Leafs' playoff chances? Oh, alive and kicking.
Apparently so. And Oilers Flames lived up to the hype. Like I knew it would. Never doubt me, all kids.
Right. Yeah, never doubt you.
Tim and Sid and Faisal on Sportsnet. Sportsnet 590 The Fan starts now. It's exhausting
check
being
the
this
stats.
Right
check
all the time. It's exhausting. So many fights.
Hashtag Tim and Sid. Of course, I go by the name of the kid. Famous. Wow. This here is the Tim and Sid Show. You are now tuned in, coast to coast, entertaining the masses. Sports entertainment.
Yeah.
It's about to get started. Sit back, enjoy the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
It is Thursday, January 30th. I'm Sid Sixero. He is Faisal Khamiza. Tim McAuliffe is off today. This is Tim and Sid. Busy show. You want to jump in?
I was just going to say, remember they did a whole thing about you reverse jinxing a team by picking an... You're never right at stuff.
This is where we're going to start the show?
Yeah, I feel like this is where we need to start. You did
going
it.
Over
you
my resume? We can go over my resume. I'm a solid B-minus student. If we're going through the report card.
I would like to go through your report
Let's
card,
go through
I
the
would like to go through
card,
your report
Jack.
Card. Can we get your transcript?
At Tim and Sid. Send me all the stuff
Jack.
I was right on. Ignore the wrong stuff. At Tim and Sid on Twitter is how you can get a hold of us. Our Instagram and Facebook accounts are also entertaining, if not effective. Tim and Sid podcast is available 24/7. Also, if you would like to stream the show while on the go, I'll read Faisal's part of the script. You can do so via Sportsnet now. Just download the Sportsnet app for more information. You want to pick it up?
I think it would have been more authentic coming from me. But yeah, coming up over the next 2 hours, we'll discuss the Battle of Alberta.
Lit.
What?
I said lit.
Luka,
the kids love lit.
Yeah, the kids do.
You need me to teach you about shoes and lingo?
Luka Doncic.
Hurt.
NBA All-Star.
Format is whack, bro.
Kyle Lowry.
All-Star?
You better be. Christine Sinclair.
On the show.
Yeah.
Coming up, we'll talk to Christine from McAllen, Texas, where the team's training during this CONCACAF Women's Olympic Qualifying Tournament happening right now. Yesterday, she scored career goals 184 and 185 for Canada. Nobody in the history of soccer has scored that many for their country. We'll talk to Christine in a bit. Kenny the Jet Smith of TNT will also join us. Does he think Kyle Lowry will be named in Eastern Conference All-Star Reserve tonight? We'll ask him. So you're convinced he's an All-Star?
To be an All-Star. Yes, yes, I'm convinced he's an All-Star.
Okay, because he doesn't have to be an All-Star.
No,
there are
right.
other guys
yes.
who have stats. Mm. But I'm asking you personally, are
yeah.
you convinced he must go
yes.
on merit?
100% on merit, he must go.
All right. Brian Burke, Chris Johnson, much more coming your way here on this Thursday edition of Tim and Sid. Only one place to start the show, however. After we hyped the Battle of Alberta about as much as humanly possible yesterday, and Donovan Bennett trying to pour cold water on the entire thing, it rose from the ashes of negativity and overhype and delivered. And then some. It's one of the best hockey games you're going to see all year, period. Sean Monahan, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, throwing knuckles. Who saw that coming in the undercard? Then the main event went down late in the first. Matthew Tkachuk, Zach Cassian dropped the gloves. Tkachuk lost, but whatever. They settled their issues, some say. The game then comes to life on the scoreboard late in the second. A flurry of goals. And after a wild OT, the Flames take it in the shootout with a stick toss from David Rittich, capping a emotion-filled evening. Faisal.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Faisal Khamiza, are you not entertained? Hit it again.
Again?
You jumped me.
Are you not entertained?
You jumped me a little
bit. You started to hit it.
You jumped
I thought it was just going to end my name.
Say,
and
say,
bam, hit it.
How great was that? Honestly.
It was,
no one left on a stretcher.
It was great.
Everything was on the up and up. Crowd was going nuts.
You know how I know it was great? Because the game ended at, what, close to 1 Eastern time, and I wasn't tired. Like, I was awake because of how great that game was. Look, at best, we were going to get a game that featured line brawls and everybody going bananas and whatever. We don't see that anymore. It would have been amazing. But the buildup certainly seemed like we might have. At worst, we were going to just get a really good hockey game because of how important it was. We got a nice middle ground, I think, between that. We got a really good hockey game sprinkled in with the entertainment that we wanted, that you hyped up for the entire show yesterday. I got to say, Donovan, he is Buzz Killington in the biggest form.
Buzz Killington.
We know. Danielle and I know. We sit with him. We've got this funny thing, and he'll be like, yeah, man. We'll be like, oh, this is great. He'll be like, no, it's not that good. We get it, Donovan. You're older than us. Like, we get it.
It's not a Jason Witten Cowboys rumor. Yeah.
Sorry, big
guy.
That's
what gets him excited. Yeah, yeah.
The game was sick. And what makes it even sicker is that we get it again in 48 hours. It was incredible. It was everything you wanted. I should ask you, was it everything you wanted? When you're hyping it up yesterday, did it check all the boxes you wanted?
Emotion? Check.
Check.
Fights?
Yep.
Check.
Check. Okay.
No cheap shots? There was one. We'll get to that in a second. There was the headline of the night that I thought got completely overshadowed. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay, okay.
Great hockey being played in and around the motion. The emotion, pardon me. Check. Great finish. Check. Fans wearing turtle suits mocking Matthew Tkachuk. Check.
Check.
By the way, are you, like, you're in the suit the whole night, right?
You got to be in the suit the whole night.
But are you okay?
They already fought. Like,
I would like to sit down and question the guy who goes to a hockey game dressed in a legit turtle outfit for the entire evening. Because there are realities about going to a hockey game when you're in an outfit like going to the washroom. That can't be comfortable. Like, how off? Like, so you have to take off the turtle mask to drink the cerveza? Right?
We praise the Vancouver Canucks fans for having those green guys for years. Let these guys go for one game and one game only.
What I'm saying is,
plan your bathroom breaks. You know,
I almost admire it.
No, I admire it. It's incredible.
Because at some point it's not interesting to you anymore, right? So because Sportsnet cameras show you early.
It's over.
They show you in the lobby.
That's true.
It's like someone's holding a Jays bobblehead, and they're the camera guy's walking, right? And then guess what? We're not really going to show you again.
Yeah.
Because stuff's going to happen, and we now have other content. So you have basically committed to a turtle outfit for the whole evening to get on TV a couple times. And guess what? Those of you wearing masks, you didn't really get on TV because we can't see your face.
That's a really good point.
Right?
That's a really good point.
You committed to the turtle. I like the gag, but sometimes gags don't last 3 hours. So I commend them and I laugh at them at the same time because it was a really unnecessary thing to do. You could have just worn a turtle t-shirt. Some of the guys did. They still got on Sportsnet. You could still urinate normally. You still drink a beer normally.
Yeah.
It's a normal evening.
What if one of the guys forgot pants? Like, you know, like the guy's like, okay, we'll wear it. They'll get us on camera in the first 10 minutes, and then we'll change out of it. But, like, homeboy in the middle is like, oh, guys, I forgot my pants. So then you...
Yeah, that's a problem.
You got to ride or die, right?
I'm trying to compute how we got to you going to someone with no pants.
I'm just thinking out loud.
The only guy I've ever seen late in a game do something gimmicky and get play late is Dart Guy. Other than Dart Guy, if you're going to dress up, if you're going to have a sign, if you're going to commit... You're maybe getting on TV early, maybe, and then you will be forgotten. Just understand that. The Sportsnet truck will forget you because there's other stuff to do.
I've got another question then. So do you think turtle costume guys were mad this fight happened in the first period? Because if it's still not happening in the first and doesn't happen in the second, you're going back to turtle guys a couple times in the game with the camera.
What turtle guys wanted was for him to turtle.
Well, that's what I mean.
And he didn't turtle.
He didn't turtle.
So he throws the whole narrative in the trash can, and Dave turns to Jimmy and says, well, what now?
Now what? Guys, why did we got to take the bus back home? Like,
yeah, hopefully Backlund turtles. Or we got no storyline tonight. Anyway, so to those who dress up as turtles, we commend you. What was the most surprising part of last night besides the turtle outfits?
You know what? I didn't think Tkachuk and Cassian would fight. I didn't think they would fight.
You weren't alone. You weren't alone.
Because I heard Zach Cassian moonwalk back all his tough guy comments from 3 weeks ago ahead of yesterday's game, right? Like, this was pre-contract as well, so maybe that changed some stuff. But when I heard his clip on your show about how, oh, you know, it's a big 2 points on the line, we need to just focus on the game. He was absolutely right, by the way. That division is so damn tight that you can't do anything.
The Canucks are still the best team in the division.
They are, and we'll talk about
them. While all this is going on at Rogers Place, they go down there, down 2-1, going into third in San Jose and get it done. Another Canucks victory.
Anyway.
Got it done.
So I think I was just surprised that they fought, period. And I saw them off the opening faceoff, and when they didn't fight then, I'm like, all right, this might not happen. This is a good little subplot to this game. We know, will it or won't it? And it did. I was surprised that it took that long then, but I'm glad they did it. I'm glad they did it.
Well, here's the thing, and in the post game, Zach Cassian kind of went here. He let us all know, this is what surprised me the most, he let us all know Matthew Tkachuk wanted to fight him way earlier than that. And that struck me as interesting because Matthew Tkachuk didn't seem like a guy who would be affected by noise. And that tells me Matthew Tkachuk was affected a little bit by noise.
Yeah.
The turtle outfit guy sitting there, the crowd on
billboards and all this extrinsic pressure,
right? It's all Matthew Tkachuk has heard about.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, it's affected Matthew Tkachuk. That next game after January 11th in Montreal, I believe he had one hit.
Yeah.
Like this, Matthew Tkachuk has been affected a little bit, although I thought it was buzzing last night. I thought he was great.
Yeah.
But you've seen a different type of Tkachuk after this. This has been weighing on his mind completely. And he's been playing it off and saying the right things. That Zach Cassian clip that he wanted to fight way earlier in the game and Cassian said no, that struck me. Here's actually, you know, let's hear from both.
Yeah.
Little Cassian, little Tkachuk from last night after.
He wanted to fight right away, but I wanted to keep him guessing a little bit. And but he wanted to. I respect him for that. And I told him before we even dropped the gloves when we were going to. It's the way it is. Now it's over. Wish that would have happened in the first place, and then it would have been done. But respect him for stepping up to the plate. That's that.
You wanted to fight you. Was it the opening draw or the first?
Yeah, the first shift. But I kind of wanted to do it on my terms. I wanted to make him wait a little bit, think about it a little bit. Part of the game within the game.
That's Zach Cassian from last night. For you, maybe we don't have the Tkachuk clip, but that is Zach Cassian from last night. Faisal, we have a tweet at Tim and Sid from Bilko. Bilko says, hey, Faisal.
Yeah.
Two rules on the Tim and Sid show, buddy.
Oh, buddy, okay.
Just remember this next time you're hosting. Rule one.
I have it here. I'm going to pull it up.
Hold on. It up. Rule right, one.
One second. One second. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm coming.
Rule
coming.
One.
Right, we're here.
Have the tweet ready. Rule two. Sid is always right. Rule three. If you ever think Sid is wrong, remember rule number one. Thank you, Bilko. Appreciate it. So let me ask you one last question about Cassian and Tkachuk, because you were going to be in Calgary this Saturday doing junior hockey.
I am. You can catch the WHL game, Calgary Hitmen, Red Deer Rebels on Sportsnet prior to that.
All right. So I'm trying to convince you, using our vast resources here at Rogers, to somehow get back into the building for Flames and Oilers Saturday night, which will be unbelievable. My question to you, though, is along those lines. Now that Tkachuk fought, now that people that preach the code, like Timmy and a lot of people, now that he has answered a bell, maybe later than some expected, but he has answered a bell, does any of this carry over now to Saturday at the Saddle Dome?
I actually just want to respond first to that first part you said, now that he's answered the bell. I thought it was so ridiculous. Like, it feels like Zach Cassian gained respect for him because he fought, and I hate that. I still hate that part of hockey where it's like, oh, this kid did what we should have done 3 weeks ago. Thank you. Now we're all good. I don't like that. Like, plotting these things out like this, I just don't think you need that in this game. Yeah, I'm glad he fought. You know what? It was building up, sure.
But if you're going to run a guy, if you're going to run a guy the way Tkachuk can at times, you don't think we need that?
I don't think we need that at all. Look, the NHL did their thing. They brought all these guys in the house to do what? I don't know. But like,
I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, we will.
There's something else we need to talk about from last night.
I don't know. There was a weird, like, I listened to Cassian post game yesterday. I was like, why? Why did we? Like, why did this change your level of respect for this guy? 31 teams would love Matthew Tkachuk.
Absolutely.
All 31 of them, even the Oilers, would love this guy.
And the 32nd team coming.
Correct. The Kraken or whatever. Because he's that guy. He's a Kraken player, right? And so.
Hold on. That's not bad.
That's not great, though.
Not bad, Kamisa.
And so, like, even on that's the way out, Cassian was like, okay, yeah, respect. He fought me. I'm bigger than. We don't need that. Like, I don't want to see Matthew Tkachuk getting hurt as a result of something like this, because I'd much rather watch him do his thing respectfully than I would Zach Cassian do his. So I get it. It's fine. As for whether it blows over, I think it does for other reasons, and you know what I'm talking about as well.
Okay, so let's get to the reason why I don't think any of this is done with the Battle of Alberta, and why Saturday could just be as contentious, if not more contentious, on Hockey Night in Canada. Is that the lead to me last night wasn't even all the stuff we've talked about so far. Not turtle outfits, not Tkachuk, not Cassian, not Monahan v. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Yeah.
Shout out to both of them. Didn't expect that. Nice little surprise. I thought Mark Giordano should have been suspended for what he did last night.
No discipline.
I don't want to see 97 taking hits to his left knee anymore. And I'm a huge Mark Giordano guy. I love Mark Giordano. And Giordano back on April the 6th didn't mean to do what he did. It was a collision last game of the year. And McDavid kind of he dodged some bullets, as we later found out in the documentary that Sportsnet ran. Connor McDavid on the bench lost his mind. You do not see 97 act in this way. But he is well within his right to be severely... No yep. penalty on Giordano for sticking a leg out and hitting the left knee. No supplemental discipline. You had everyone in the league who could have done something in the building. You had Peros, Walker, everybody. That is the best player in the world coming off left knee surgery. Help him out. That was cheap. I thought it was a penalty. It was supplemental discipline. It was all of it. And Flame fans might be crazy. You look at that from every angle, and that's at least a game suspension of Mark Giordano. I'm sorry. Someone make me the argument that it isn't. And clearly with the Department of Player Safety, they will, because George Parros isn't doing anything about it. But if you want to really calm stuff down, don't let McDavid get hit like that. Just don't do it. And they let it go again, and it's maddening in this league that the superstars don't get protected that way. That's crazy. Because he didn't get hit like Matthew Tkachuk hit Cassian, there was no supplemental discipline. That's insane. That is insane. That guy nearly lost 12 months of his career because of that knee.
Well, I thought,
and to have that happen, that's nuts.
I thought back to the McDavid documentary that aired on Sportsnet. I guess it would have been last week.
Yeah,
it was last Giordano week. Was upset that he hurt him. He was upset visibly at the fact that that play caused that injury to that
didn't
guy.
Didn't mean it.
And he did, that's
didn't
what
mean
I'm,
it back
that's
on April
what I'm
6th.
Saying.
Yeah, I didn't mean
but
it.
But that's what I'm – right. But then you go out and do that? To that guy?
And again,
with
I can't,
the C on your chest.
I can't
Man.
Say it enough. I am here for Mark Giordano.
Me too.
I am here for the Mark Giordano story. I am here for the Norris Trophy winner. I'm here for him just getting warmed up and all the quotes. And that guy's a leader. And that team's been to hell and back this year, Calgary. And that guy's answered most calls when it comes to the media. But don't touch 97. For those wondering whether or not Connor McDavid had cooled off after the game, here is what he said to the assembled media once it was done.
Pretty clear you weren't thrilled with that hit that Giordano threw on you. How did you see that?
Well, I don't want to start a big media circus at all. You know, honestly, he's a guy that plays hard, and that's that.
You know what? I hear what Connor McDavid's putting down, and I'm picking it up. It's not his place to start a media circus. I'm going to do it for him.
It's your job.
That was cheap. Really surprising for Mark Giordano. And I thought that should have been a game. And this league needs to figure it out with their most important players. Because McDavid is a different cat because he beats everyone one-on-one every time. And this stuff's going to be happening with more regularity if you let it go. The defenseman beaten by McDavid cannot be allowed to do that because then it's going to get very, very common. Because that happens 5 times a game.
What happens?
And it scares the hell out of me to see that on that knee. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That is crazy the league is brushing that off. Not a penalty, no supplemental discipline, nothing. And you leave 97 on the bench breaking sticks so he can let out some steam. Give me a break. Every disciplinarian in the league is brought to the arena last night. For what? What the hell are they looking at? Again, I'm a Giordano guy. Love him. That was offside. Very offside. Something should have been done about it. And I don't think some Oilers are going to forget Saturday.
Well, that's
you watch. Now, watch that develop Saturday is my point.
All right.
The Ooh. Vancouver Canucks.
You good?
Yes.
Yeah.
Staying in the Pacific. We just mentioned the Canucks. They won their fourth straight game and remained 2 points ahead of the Flames for first in the division. They beat the Sharks 5-2. Canucks have been streaky all year. Do you think they're good enough to see this through, Faisal? Do you think they may end the regular season, which has about 30 games left in it, first in the Pacific Division?
You know, I keep going back to, if not them, who else, right? Because I don't know if there's a clear front runner there.
Mathematically,
right?
There's right. a lot of teams
no,
that
no,
are close.
No, 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 right. Yeah. But I look at up and down those teams. I'm like, I don't know about any of them. I know Jacob Markstrom's been unbelievable. He's been unbelievable, and part of the reason why they've been this good. Throwing Thatcher Demko, never losing at home, it seems, this season. That's a pretty good combination in net, and you need good goaltending to help you get there. And he did it again. They're down to the Sharks, who are not a good team, who lost Tomáš Hertl. ACL, MCL, by the way. I'm sure Ottawa fans are probably looking at the standings a little bit clearer now because they own that draft.
I don't want to say they're cheering because you don't want to cheer a guy losing the season.
I didn't say that.
Just if we get the tweet that anyone says we're inferring that.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just pointing out for our friends in Ottawa. 13 wins in 16 games, man. Like, they're good. They're good. Pedersen is great. Besser is really, really good.
Listen, if Jake Virtanen's woken up,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
there's a long line of coaching carcasses who have tried to get this guy going at this level. Travis Green is pushing the right buttons.
A lot of people laughed at the JT Miller trade. He has been so valuable for this team this season. So, so valuable. And if they have a lead, they're scoring an empty net goal, eight empty net goals in the last 15 games when they need to close these things out. They're good. And I think they're the best team in that division.
And that howitzer from Quinn Hughes last night.
He's so good.
That was nice.
Man, he's so
good. Full disclosure, I didn't love the JT Miller trade when it first happened.
No, but I didn't
either.
And it still might have been too much to pay for him.
I know there's some Vancouver hockey fans in the lower mainland who are with me on that. But this is, listen, I hope this is real. I love this hockey team.
Yeah.
Love this hockey team. I adore how Travis Green approaches him. He's not afraid to mix things up. And if they can stay healthy, which this team never is able to stay healthy, if they can stay healthy, that's a first-place team. Elsewhere, Leafs win 5-3 in Dallas. A second straight game for the Leafs where they had a lead going into the third and, dare I say, hung on to it. Encouraging couple of wins after the break in Nashville, in Dallas for the Leafs. They're now tied for the last wild card and for third in the Atlantic. Has the All-Star break been a break in the schedule that they desperately need here? Do you think they're over that stretch of one win over six games, the blue and white?
It feels like that, right? You know, Nashville is Nashville. They're not great, and that's fine. They took care of business pretty handily there. Dallas is a really good team. They don't give up a lot of goals. I know of late, you know, the last couple games prior to the Leaf game, they've given up a lot. But before that, two goals or less in nine of their last 11. How's five-on-five goals for the Leafs, too? No power play, no special teams, just up and down the lineup. It was a really hard work game, and this is the tendency I still don't like when they go up big and they have to hold on, but that's why you have a good goaltender in Freddie Anderson, who hasn't been the Anderson that the Leaf fans have wanted this season.
He's looked pretty good coming out of the break.
Last couple games, he has been the goalie that they've been looking for this entire season.
I got to tell you, guys, can you cue up the 2-1 Leaf goal where Dermott started behind the net, and then it was just a great pass after great
so
pass?
Good.
This, when the Leafs are on, man, I'm not talking defensively, but Dermott, touch pass, Matthews, Marner, ridiculous no-look feed, and Zach Hyman gets another. Like, say what you want about the Leafs' blue line, and people have, and they still have given up a lot of goals the last two games. Let's not get it twisted. When they are on, it is an EA Sports video game, and that was exquisite to watch last night. Absolutely exquisite. By the way, with Brian Burke coming up a little later, if Austin Matthews wins the Rocket Richard Trophy, is that now a good contract? Or is the term never going to be something other GMs accept?
Yeah, it's the term.
Is it the term
it's people the term, can right?
Even if he wins the Rocket Richard this year, he's one back now, Pastrnak.
Yep.
Okay, we'll throw it to him a little
that's
later
a good,
on.
That's a good question. It's a really good question.
Guys, can we run the Turtles one more time? Let's give these guys some love because I kind of made fun of them. And they put in a lot of effort to mock Matthew Tkachuk last night. We never saw their faces. Guys, we're gonna give you more love. Thank you for the effort. Thank you for the commitment. And you know, some people went sans mask, and it was good. And you got your time, too. But to everyone who tried last night in Edmonton and had a really good atmosphere, thank you. Because that was a hell of a hockey game. The crowd was hot. You could feel it through the TV. It was just a good night of hockey.
Guys,
a really good night of hockey.
I have a tweet from one of the Turtles.
What do you mean you have a tweet from one of the Turtles?
One of the Turtles has tweeted in
Donatello?
To the
show. Which turtle just tweeted in the show?
Based on some research. Hey, Tim and Sid, you can call me about questions of the turtle suit. I'm the guy. That's
okay,
the
well,
turtle.
First off, I saw four guys look like that. So
Rizzy Bear 3.
I don't know if he's the guy necessarily.
I verified the timeline. I've gone through
all
his
right.
timeline to verify.
What's his name again?
Rizzy Bear. But we don't know because he's got a mask
okay,
on, right?
Okay, so
but
one of the four turtles. Maybe Leonardo and some others will tweet us in as the show progresses.
We're not going to call you. So
for a break.
Just letting you know, we're not calling you.
Coming up, Christine Sinclair scored more goals than anyone in international soccer history. She will join us from McAllen, Texas, site of the CONCACAF Women's Olympic Qualifiers. Also, an update on the NBA, the latest involving the tributes with Kobe. We'll talk about All-Star Game format, Kyle Lowry's chances of going to the All-Star Game. He's Faisal Lemsid. This is Tim and Sid. Busy show.
Yeah, it's a podcast, but we're still not going to let him swear. Subscribe to Tim and Sid at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand.
Welcome back to Tim and Sid on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. He's Faisal Kamiza sitting in for Timmy. I am Sid Sixero. A couple of tweets coming off the Mark Giordano, Connor McDavid discussion we had prior to the break. Darren at Tim and Sid. Effing right, Sid. Love the sticking up for Connor. Amen, brother. This league is trash sometimes protecting its star players. Stevie at Tim and Sid is a different take. Sid, I generally agree with you, but two things. Crosby is still the best player in the league. I don't think he is.
I don't even think that's the point.
There is more to hockey than offense. Giordano did not stick out his leg. Okay, we slightly disagree. I believe there was some slight sticking out of the leg for Mark Giordano. I at no point called him a dirty player. He is not. We know this. I didn't like the move last night. That is all I'm saying, and I was surprised the league did nothing about it, and it will potentially fuel things heading into Saturday night at the Scotiabank Saddledome, live on Hockey Night in Canada. Any follow-ups on your end of that?
I just want to clarify something for people on Twitter. Again, and he said it here, he did not say Mark Giordano is a dirty player.
Yeah,
he made that, abundantly clear over and over again. Everyone gets caught up in incidents on the ice at times. Doesn't make them bad players or dirty players. I just want you to stop tweeting that in specific.
Well, people hear what they want to hear. Mark Giordano is not a dirty player. I didn't think that was a clean play last night, though. Look, that's all I'm saying.
They can both be true.
Yes.
All right.
All right, back to the NBA, and the tributes continue to pour in for the late Kobe Bryant. And there are it's to the point where we're coming in here every day, and we have to make calls on kind of what we show you and what we don't and what we talk about. There are so many things going on throughout the evening right now, the sporting news cycle. We can't show you everything because there are emotionally heartfelt things happening in basically every arena.
Yep.
But a couple of things we did want to bring your attention to. Vanessa Bryant finally did post something on social media last night. I, in a million years, cannot begin to understand what Vanessa and that family are currently going through. But the post was put up last night. Jeannie Buss, who essentially is running the L.A. Lakers, who has known Kobe forever, they had a very special relationship. She also posted last night, if you want to take to social media and read them, it's more effective than me trying to read Vanessa Bryant's post. I just can't do it justice. So I encourage you to go on social media. Again, the Lakers opened up their practice facility today, and Frank Vogel, head coach, was the only guy to speak. We're not going to do that again. So we're going to wait for LeBron and some other guys maybe over the next couple of days to do that. Again, the Lakers' first game since the tragedy, tomorrow night at home at Staples against the Blazers. That will be unbelievable. Also tonight, after the Raptors and the Cavs game on Sportsnet this evening, and the Raptors do play tonight, forgive me for not mentioning that yet, we're going to replay Kobe's 81-point performance against the Raptors from 14 years ago in its entirety, 10:30 p.m. Eastern tonight. And I know we have some of our audience is a little younger who aren't familiar as much with the
That's
that
what
night
I was gonna
as
say.
We are.
If you're being educated on Kobe Bryant, the player, through the last week or so, obviously, through this tragedy, just watch this game. Just watch him do what Kobe does. This wasn't the flashiest game of his career in terms of how the points were scored, but it was Kobe Bryant to a T. 81 times.
When I see 81,
I know,
the second highest point total in NBA history.
It doesn't make sense.
You don't need flash. That's all the flash
I
need.
Yeah, and look, it might
That's
be the greatest
the
scoring accomplishment. Like, Will Chamberlain was playing against accountants and stuff, so maybe that was different, but like, this was real, man. And
they need accountants.
If you haven't seen it, 10:30 again on Sportsnet after the Raptors game tonight.
So it'll be a fun night of basketball on the network tonight, no doubt about that. Now, the All-Star game is fast approaching here. It's Sunday, February 16th in Chicago. The starters were announced not that long ago. We'll get to the reserves in a second in the Kyle Lowry discussion. We all know Pascal Siakam going as a starter for the Eastern Conference. For some reason today, the NBA – now, I know the reason, right? Like,
yes.
There is a Kobe connection here and a tribute.
Right.
The NBA sent out a release saying they have completely changed the format of this year's All-Star game. I'm going to read to you a portion of the NBA's release – and then I'm going to ask Faisal to explain to me what the hell it means. because I was not a great math student. Like, I had my subjects. I was great at gym, right?
No, it shows.
History, right? Okay. I had my strengths, but I had my weaknesses. I've read this release four times.
I think this is the first time you've ever admitted any kind of fault in your life.
It's the only one of two I have. The second is I love too much.
Yeah, as I know.
All right, so here's what the NBA said. Teams in the All-Star game Sunday, February 26th, will compete to win each of the first three quarters. All of the quarters will start with the score 0-0, and all of the first three quarters will be 12 minutes long. So that I get, right? First quarter, 0-0, 12 minutes. Second quarter, 0-0. The gamblers will love it. You're going, no, seriously.
There's four different games.
You're going to have three mini
games.
It's
like basic games, yeah.
No, you're going to go quarter by quarter.
Yeah.
So, okay, so I get that. That's fine. Here's where they lose me. And Faisal,
okay,
who once won a Fields medal in math, will help me. Good Will Hunting reference. Thank you for the applause. At the start of the fourth quarter, hold on. You've never seen Good Will Hunting.
We don't have time.
Hey, it's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Okay.
You don't get it.
Okay.
At the start of the fourth quarter in the All-Star game, going back to this release, the game clock will be turned off and the final target score will be set. The final target score will be determined by taking the leading team's total cumulative score through three quarters and adding 24. The 24 obviously representing the late Kobe Bryant's uniform number. Once the final target score is set, the teams will play an untimed fourth quarter, and the first team to reach the final target score will win the NBA All-Star game.
All
what
right.
the hell does this mean?
You know
mean?
What? I'm going to help you here. Guys, do we have the whiteboard? I made one request in my time here ever hosting this show. It's today, so I could get
a whiteboard
so I can help break this down for you.
I have
no idea what
the NBA is trying to get me to understand.
Okay. It's really not that complicated.
They're wheeling in a whiteboard here for...
I know we have radio
Dr. Faisal Khemeza.
Is this okay for you to do it right here?
Yeah, just edge it more. Just kind of angle it to the cameras a little bit. I'll explain to people listening on pod and radio.
I'm going to use a blue marker and a red marker. Blue to represent Team Giannis, red to represent Team LeBron. Is that okay?
Okay, again, Faisal explaining to me the fourth quarter of this year's All-Star game.
Okay.
Which I have no idea.
So let's just start here, okay?
Okay.
G for Giannis.
Okay.
And I gotta.
Boy, this lesson's going swimmingly.
L. Yeah. For LeBron. Okay. Game one, let's say 20 points for Team LeBron, 27 points for Team Giannis. All right.
That's first quarter.
That's the first game.
So Team Giannis wins 27-20 in the first quarter.
And $100,000 goes to charity for Team Giannis. All right. Game two.
Yeah.
Team Giannis.
Yeah.
Let's say they have 24.
Okay.
All right. And Team LeBron has 33.
Okay.
Who wins this game?
Team LeBron 33-24.
Thank you. Nice. You got
it. Don't talk to me like I'm an idiot. Just help me out.
So game three.
You're an awful teacher. You're not nurturing in any way.
Thank you. Game three. LeBron's team has 29, whatever. Giannis's team.
Yeah. Again, third quarter. Giannis's team wins.
Yeah. Giannis's team has 37. Okay. All right.
So then what? So you've played three quarters.
We've played three games
all
now.
All separate games. Mm-hmm. Then what happens?
All right. So the scores of each game will now be added up for each team.
That's an interesting square or rectangle.
Thank you. So Giannis's team
like
has 88 points now, okay? 88 points total so far.
Mm-hmm.
Team LeBron so far, 62, has 82 points.
All right. I'm at attention.
That
you got
means...
me.
Yeah. Game four will start with Giannis's team up 88-82.
Okay.
And the target score the league speaks of right now is going to be the 88 from Team Giannis plus 24.
So add Kobe's 24.
Which is
going to
get you to 112.
So Giannis has 112.
That's the target score.
Former band at Bad Boy Records as well.
Yeah, Peaches and Cream, baby. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I
Peaches
do.
Peaches and Cream.
Keep it family oriented here, sir.
So that means... Team Giannis has to score those 24 points to get to that 112. And 112 is the score. No shot clock, no game clock in that fourth game, period.
So first team to 112 wins in the fourth quarter with no clock running.
That's it.
So how many points does LeBron's team have?
So LeBron's team. They need 30 to get there. 30.
This is stupid.
Okay.
Listen, you've done a really good job. This is ridiculous. How on earth does this make any sense? Why are you making people think hard about this? It's an all-star game. It's supposed to be fun. We're supposed to laugh at Fergie. What are we doing? Faisal, that's pretty good. I'm not going to lie to you. That's not bad. I'll give you credit.
I thought it'd be a longer, but I had a different format in my head and I had to stretch it for
See,
wide.
See, you got confused.
No.
And you're good at math.
I didn't get confused.
Oh, I didn't get confused.
I just had to adjust based on the whiteboard. Okay. It's really not that complicated.
I'm still kind of
slightly ridiculous.
Hazy on it.
It's slightly ridiculous,
honest.
But it's not overwhelmingly complicated.
All right.
That's all I got to say. All right.
Okay. Well, we've spent a lot of time on that.
Too much time.
Kyle Lowry is going to find out tonight around 7 p.m. Eastern on TNT whether he is going to his sixth All-Star game, whether or not he is a reserve for the Eastern Conference. There's plenty of debate around whether or not Lowry should be one of the guards in the East to go. Mark Spears of ESPN is going to join us after the break. We will make an impassioned plea. I don't know Spears' take on this. Should Lowry be an all-star? Will he be an all-star?
The math on that is easy in my
opinion. I want to hear Mark Spears' opinion on this format for the all-star game as well. This is outrageous, but Faisal, I love you. Thank you for walking
through
that.
You do love too much.
Right. I love too much, and I'm too good-looking.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome back to Tim and Sid here on Sportsnet. Tim McAuliffe off today. Faisal Khamisa kind enough to sit in his chair. Coming up, a conversation with Christine Sinclair, who has scored 185 times for her country. No player in the history of soccer has scored that many goals. We'll talk to her from Texas a little later on. Mark Spears, however, is up next, a good friend of the show, in what has been as unique a week in the NBA as we've ever seen. Spearsy, it's good to see you, man. How are things?
Have better days, man.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. I feel odd starting any conversation with any NBA friend of ours without the where were you when question. So where were you when?
I was in Oakland. Just had come from the gym and was just thinking it was going to be a relaxing Sunday and I was watching television. And then all of a sudden, you know, my phone started going crazy. And I saw the TMZ report and a lot of friends and work colleagues calling me, is it true? And no, I hate to say it, but TMZ in L.A. is pretty accurate. And I instantly thought it was true and was hoping that I was wrong. And then it becomes tough because you guys know you guys are sports journalists. And as my ESPN colleague Michael Eve said it best, you know, at some point there's going to come a time where there's going to be a tragedy that's going to involve somebody that we know. And I felt like I knew Kobe pretty well. We had a lot of good work moments together, some private time together. And so it certainly has hit me hard. I'll be at the game tomorrow. I don't know what to expect. I know the emotions are going to be everywhere. I'm glad it wasn't Tuesday. That was just too soon. But with each passing day, it's feeling a little better, but I know at some point the emotions are going to really hit.
The thing about tomorrow night, and again, to repeat, Lakers and Blazers tomorrow, that will be a scene. When one person suffers the loss, that's one thing, where everyone can try and pick the person up. If everyone's feeling basically the same loss, that it's a completely different story, and I can't begin to figure out how that feels tomorrow.
Well, you guys know what L.A. is, right? It's a city of stars. We're talking about actors, you know, singers. Fred Astaire, you know, from back in the day. And every walk of entertainer you could think of. But to me, I don't know that they loved anybody more than they loved Kobe Bryant. Just the outpouring of emotion outside Staples Center from people of all races, all ages, they loved him truly more than any athlete they've ever had. I think they loved him more than any singer, any, you know, actor, actress, whoever, politician. He is LA. He, you know, got drafted there, played his whole career there, lived there. They love Kobe Bryant as much as and more than anything. So I think they should do the memorial, as from rumors that I'm hearing, at, you know, where USC plays, 100,000 seat football stadium, or maybe it's the Rose Bowl, Staples Center, even though it's the home, the house that Kobe built. I don't think you'll do it justice. You need a really, really, I think, big, big place in the future for people to accurately say goodbye to him.
Mark Spears of ESPN joining us here on Tim and Sid. Spearsy, it's an awkward transition. Mm-hmm. Forgive me as I try here. But the Raptors are in action tonight. They're in Cleveland. The bigger story with the Raptors really is Kyle Lowry. And will he be in all-star reserve? Sorry, man?
Come on. He's in.
Is he in? I don't know. I'm seeing a lot. Like, the entire TNT crew, God love him, none of them have Kyle as a reserve in this. So do you think he's getting in tonight?
I'll bet some Niagara wine on it. How's that?
Niagara wine, I'll take it.
Okay.
Always with the appropriate reference, the appropriate time. Say, Spearsy, as
perfect,
usual.
Perfect reference here. Did you see the new All-Star Game format and your thoughts around the new All-Star Game format for this year?
Yeah, first, to finish my last thought, he deserves to be there. The record's too good. Yeah. I'd be stunned if he didn't make it. NBA always tries to do some really interesting things. I'm in love with honoring Kobe. I don't know if I'm in love with the unique and odd way that they're doing it. I'd rather see videos, which I'm sure we'll see, and other tributes and stuff like that. But, you know, they're trying something unique in terms of how do I explain it? I mean, the first three quarters, there's going to be some games for community to give money to community charities. And the last game, if, say, one team's up 100 to 180, the first team to 124, 24 points in honor of Kobe Bryant wins. I think it'll be a little bit hard for the fans to kind of understand it, especially if you're tuning in late and or don't know, first one to whatever, plus 24 of what the winning team has in the third quarter. I think they're trying something out. I don't know. But I wonder if they're trying it out to see if it's something that they should do in the future. I hope not. I believe in honoring Kobe as much as possible. I just don't know. I just hope what I'd like to see is have the Mamba mentality during this whole game, man. I think they do the fans a disservice by not being competitive. Like they're worried about being hurt. I see them work out harder and play harder during off-season pro-am leagues or at UCLA. Just play hard. I think people would like to see that, see the best possible, greatest pickup game ever, and I'm sure Kobe would be proud of that as well.
I'm with you. I mean, that weekend will be so full of tribute. Mm-hmm.
You, David Stern.
And David Stern. It's been a rough year. That weekend will be so significant for so many different reasons. And I'm with you, Spearsy. I don't know why this had to happen now with the game, but I mean it is, and quite frankly, it's one of the All-Star games that I've kind of started enjoying because the baseball All-Star game to me is the most authentic and real, and I've enjoyed that the most. But the NBA has been kind of pushing ahead of the NHL All-Star game for me in terms of enjoyment. I can't believe how in a meeting this got greenlit. I just don't, to complicate things for regular people like myself, it's a mistake. It is.
Like you almost feel like there's somebody to meet. I got this idea. Yeah. Okay. After the third quarter, how about we use 24 points? Well, what about 8? Because his other number's 8. No, let's go with 24. You know, but in Chicago, the restaurants were good. If we go at 8, then we'll get to eat at the restaurants quicker. No, let's go at 24. All right. Adam, do you think that's a good idea? Yeah, let's go with that. It just
Yeah, people think you're kidding at home, Spearsy. Guys, let me tell you something. That's how meetings go sometimes. Yeah, I'm with you.
It's like a three rule, right? My guys at the big three, that's something they would try out.
Yeah.
No, that's even too weird for big three. I think the big three might say, no, that's too much for us. That's a little too much.
Like, no, homie, we ain't doing that.
Mark Spears, as always, senior NBA writer from ESPN, The Undefeated. He has been...
We got to laugh to keep him crying.
I was thinking the same thing, man. You've been a friend of this show for a very, very long time, and it's just good to hear your voice, and it's good to have a little laugh here. I'm with you. Love you, man. Thank you.
All right.
Mark Spears again joining us, and he will be at Staples tomorrow night. Wow.
Yeah, scenes.
What a feeling that is going to be, and certainly something we'll talk about tomorrow here on Tim and Sid as well. What a feeling yesterday watching Christine Sinclair score more goals than anyone else in the history of international soccer. She will join us from Texas, site of the CONCACAF Women's Olympic Qualifiers. Next, he's Faisal, I'm Sid. This is Tim and Sid on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Yeah, it's a podcast, but we're still not going to let him swear. Subscribe to Tim and Sid at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand.
Time for Tim and Sid. It's time for real sports talk with Tim McCallum and Sid Sexero.
Thank you very much, Sheepdog. Sid Sexero back with you. Faisal Khamiza also in studio. Tim McCallum is off today. We are with you for another 30 minutes on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 360 and the full hour on Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Toronto. Raptors go for their ninth straight win tonight when they visit the Cavs. They are rolling. Coverage on Sportsnet begins at 6:30 Eastern this evening.
Should say no Marc Gasol for that game.
Correct. But they don't think it's a long-term thing.
Not very
Nick
concerned.
Nurse just said he doesn't think it's long-term with Marc Gasol, so that's good.
All right, coming up, Brian Burke will join us in studio. People call him Berkey to talk more about last night's Instant Classic in Edmonton. We'll talk some Leafs with Chris Johnston as well. We begin this hour with a historic achievement in Canadian sports. Burnaby, BC's Christine Sinclair, now the all-time leading scorer in international soccer with 185 goals after a two-goal performance against St. Kitts and Nevis yesterday.
Christine Sinclair on the verge of being crowned top international goal scorer of all time. Taken down, penalty given. Sinclair from the spot, as she's done so many times before. Goal number 184. She moves alongside the great Abby Wambach. Sinclair wide open. Is this it? It is! Sinclair has done it! The Queen of the North. Goal number 185. The all-time leading scorer in international soccer.
You just never want it to end. You want to watch Christine Sinclair play forever.
185 goals for your country. A staggering number. And it's a number that made Christine Sinclair the number one trending topic in this country yesterday when she passed Abby Wambach for most goals ever. Christine Sinclair of Team Canada joining us here on Tim and Sid from McAllen, Texas, site of the CONCACAF Women's Olympic Qualifying. Christine, it is great to talk to you. It is great to see you. Sid Sexero, Faisal Khamiza here. On behalf of a lot of Canadian sports fans who don't get the chance to talk to you the way I am, congratulations. Did your phone blow up?
It didn't quite blow up, but I think it was on the verge.
I know doing these types of interviews isn't your favorite thing. How many have you had to do since, and are you looking forward to them ending?
I actually haven't done too many. I mean, a few last night. This is like my second today. I'm excited to just get back to the soccer part of my job.
Speaking of excitement, how excited were you then to finally cross this off the list? I know it was probably something that was creeping up on your mind and something you were thinking of. How happy were you to get it done and get it done early in that game as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a relief. It's been something that's obviously been on my mind. Every time I speak to media people, it was brought up, I'd say, for the past 2 to 3 years. So it's just nice to get it over with in a good way early in this tournament. I mean, this is a massive tournament for us with obviously very big implications in trying to qualify for the Olympics. So it's nice that the focus of our team can now turn to just qualifying.
We saw the reaction on the field with your teammates. What was the scene back in the room? How excited was everybody?
So they, like, conveniently made me walk in last. I had no idea what was happening. And, yeah, just walked into champagne and, like, all the plastic up in the locker room. It was quite the scene. But it was just, for me to be able to share the moment with my teammates, the staff, I mean, I told them last night I've grown up with some of them on this national team, and to be able to share the experience with them makes it so much more special.
When you started with the national team program in this country, the senior national team program, you were 16 years old. What was your goal when you started? What were your realistic goals as a 16-year-old Christine Sinclair? And could you, in your wildest dreams, have imagined statistics like this?
So when I was first on the national team, it was just to, like, try to play. Those were my goals. Evan Pellerud was the new coach at the time and took a chance on me as a young 16-year-old. But in my second game, I scored my first goal. And I'm not going to lie, I was in that moment, it was like, I'm gonna try and catch Mia. Mia, at the time, Mia Hamm held the record. And I thought it was insane how many goals she had scored in her career. And obviously, I should have set my sights higher, not knowing that someone would have passed her in the meantime. But no, I mean, I never would have actually imagined sitting here answering these questions today.
So as, you know, with that said, as you've reflected today, has the context of what you accomplished hit you at all today? Because I heard an interview with one of our colleagues, Brendan Dunlop, yesterday, and you said you didn't really, hadn't sunk in yet. Has it sunk in today a little bit more?
I mean, a little bit. It's you got to understand, it's hard when you're in tournament mode.
Yeah.
Like, we have 3 games in, like, 7 days. It's a lot. So I think that the record will be something that once this tournament's over will sink in, and we'll actually truly be able to celebrate and go see my family. I spoke to them last night, and they were very excited. I think it's just something that'll sink in once we've qualified for the Olympics.
Christine Sinclair here on Tim and Sid. It is impossible, Christine, out of 185 goals to pick your favorite, but I'm going to ask you to pick your favorite. Which one stands out the most?
So there's this one going, it's online right now in one of the, I think the video the CSA made. It's a left-footed bomb against Brazil. Hands down the best goal I've ever scored in my career. So in terms of, like, that's my favorite one. In terms of impact, probably the game-winning goal to secure bronze in Rio. That was pretty special.
I was going to ask you about impact, not with regards to which goal is your favorite, but the impact on the younger generation of Canadian soccer fans, specifically girls. We know the women have long been holding it down sports-wise in this country, but we've seen an emergence of a few in very different sports over the last few years as well. How much pride do you take in being a role model for the younger generation, specifically young girls?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a role I take very seriously. I mean, when I was growing up, I was looking up to male athletes. I mean, Roberto Alomar was my hero. So now it's nice to know that young girls have female role models to look up to. They can now aspire to, you know, win majors in tennis, win Olympic medals in soccer. It's pretty special, and I think it's probably one of the most important roles that I have, is to help inspire the next generation and show them that anything's possible.
Christine, when you look at that all-time list now, the one that you own, a lot of names around you are American. That must feel good.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I'm not going to lie, it does. No, I mean, for so long, the Americans have obviously been the powerhouse in women's soccer. it's nice to get this victory over them in a way. But no, I mean, but honestly, I have so much respect for them and so much respect for what they've done for women's sports, not just soccer. The torch that they carry, they're the example for a lot of us. So much respect for them, but yeah, it's nice to get one up on them in this.
I hear you. No doubt. No doubt. Christine, before we let you go, because you are at a really significant tournament, the CONCACAF Olympic qualifiers, the World Cup did not end the way any of you expected. We know that story.
Yeah.
Hopefully you guys get through this next week and go to Tokyo. My question to you is, what do the next several years look like for Christine Sinclair past a hypothetical Olympics? Are you looking at another World Cup? Is the passion still deep for you? Like, how much longer do you want to continue to represent this country in this way?
You know, that is the question, isn't it? I don't know. I'd say for the past 4 or 5 years, I had always planned on aiming for Tokyo and then sort of reassessing after that. For me, obviously still have the passion and the, like, competitive fire in me to keep going. Who knows what'll happen?
As a Canadian soccer supporter, the both of us, please stay around for a while.
Yeah.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, on behalf of the Voyagers and everyone, please stay around for a while. There's only one person on earth who has scored 185 goals internationally for their country, and she's from Burnaby, B.C. Christine Sinclair, congratulations again. Best of luck in this tournament, and thank you for your time.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
The one and only Christine Sinclair. Time for a break here on Tim and Sid. One more break. When we come back, we'll rehash again a memorable evening in Edmonton. We'll talk a Leafs victory. We'll talk injury news out of San Jose. Brian Burke joining us next. This is Tim and Sid.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome back to Tim and Sid with Faisal on Sportsnet Television and Radio. Brian Burke joins us now for some hockey talk brought to you by Boston Pizza. Join us every Saturday for Hockey Night in Canada at Boston Pizza. Berkey, it is always a pleasure. Damn, that was a fun night of hockey last night. Like, I was envious of you, Elliot, and Jeff. Like, that was to be there for all of it, to soak it all in, that seemed like a fun night at the CBC building.
It was. It was playoff hockey in January. It was amazing. I loved it. I loved both games. This job, you know, we get a lot of good games. You get some bad ones. And yeah, to get two great ones like that back-to-back was outstanding. But that was May hockey in January. And it was played with a proper level of truculence, too.
Yes, we get some truculence into the segment. You were pretty adamant off the front of the broadcast. Yeah, there was going to be some fights here. Tkachuk was going to answer the bell. Why were you so sure, and in the end you were proven right, why were you so sure heading in? Because there was enough people I heard, not with your resume, but there was enough hockey fans who were like, nah, it's going to be a dud tonight.
Well, you got to listen to the right people.
Correct.
So George Parros goes to the game. And when I did supplementary discipline for the NHL, we didn't call it player safety back then. I would go to these games when there was a hot spot, and it would often fizzle out because the guys would know I'm there. I'd tell both GMs, I'm watching. I'm going to start suspending people before I leave the building if I need to. And it would bring the temperature down. But I felt talking to Matthew Tkachuk when he was here, and he didn't say, oh, I'm going to fight him. He just said, I'm getting sick of all the noise. I think people making fun of him and Zach talking a lot, and I think he just said I had enough. So he tried to start the fight early. Cassian said, he didn't say, no, I won't fight you. He said, we'll wait. And then they you know, you could tell Tkachuk wanted all of that. So everyone did what they're supposed to do. All these incidents, everyone has done what they're supposed to do. Chucky's running people. Zach's had enough. McDavid comes in and runs Tkachuk from behind when he hits him on the third time. Cassian's had enough. He gives it to him. You know, you could argue you had it coming then. Everyone did the right thing. So last night, everyone did the right thing again. The one I didn't expect was Nuge and Monty.
What'd you make of that tussle?
Well, like I said last night, lots of enthusiasm and not great technique.
They tried hard, though. I mean, that wasn't bad for two guys that don't really do it,
no,
right?
No, it was great. Yeah. And they both they both grew 2 inches in the eyes of their teammates. That the teammates respect this. When you're willing to fight in an important game and you're not good at it, you still do it. People respect that. Teammates respect that. They both did great.
See, Berkey, but here's what I'm thinking during this. If you're the coach behind the bench or the GM upstairs watching guys like this go, that always makes me a little nervous.
But the buckets came off early. So that's important. Right. The helmets came off.
Good point. Good point.
That, when you break your head on a guy in a fight, it's 99%, 99 times out of 100, it's a helmet.
All right. There was a bunch of other stuff a little later as well. There's Giordano and McDavid. David Riddick celebrating the way. Did you think any of this, again, boils over into Saturday? The great part of this, again, we get him again in 48 hours. You think there's more tension, more escalation that goes down there in Calgary?
Well, you know, having worked in Calgary, and I do a radio show now in Calgary and Edmonton, and there's a genuine hatred between the two markets. It's not contrived. It's not some mythical thing that people create for the media. It's 2 days on the job in Calgary, and I hated the Oilers. And now I do a radio show in both markets, and I'm starting to like the Oilers, and people in Calgary think I'm a traitor. It's hilarious. To me, I don't think it's over because these teams don't like each other.
Yeah.
What saved last night from being much more difficult was the score. It was dependent on the score how much shenanigans there were, and it was a one-goal game the entire game and then a tie. And as a player, you're not going to risk putting your team down trying to settle a score in a one-goal game where the points are so vital right now and the teams are so close in the standings. And, in fact, you'd talk about that on the bench. You'd say, hey, guys, everyone park that stuff. We need the 2 points. So, but if it had been 4-1, I have no doubt in my mind there would have been a half dozen fights.
Were you okay with Giordano on McDavid?
No, that should have been a two-minute penalty. I love Mark Giordano. Everyone knows that. I had him. I really respect him. I loved having him as a player. It should have been a penalty. It's not more than that. Like, they're as I joked in Edmonton on the radio today, they're calling for his imprisonment up there. Now, it's a two-minute penalty. It's not a dirty play. He's trying to beat Connor McDavid to the puck, which is usually a bad bet.
His left leg isn't out a little bit here, Berkey? Yeah. Dirty enough for you?
No, it's a reaction hit to me. He's not coming in to get him dirty. Connor chips the puck by him. He's going full speed. Mark sticks out his leg, clips him. Should have been a two-minute penalty. Nothing more than that. But I have no objection to Connor getting that mad. That's a this rehab leg. And the thing I like about Connor McDavid the most besides watching him is that he never complains. For him to complain that much, he was sour.
That's a visual you don't often see from that young man.
He gets fouled, he gets hooked, he never complains. He never complains about officiating. He never complained when his team was terrible and they missed the playoffs by a mile. He never complained. He's never complained as a pro. I love that. The really great ones don't complain. Last night, he had enough. He was sour.
I love David Riddick and that celebration. I didn't know he had sauce like that. You know, I didn't know that was the swagger that he had. Throwing the stick up like that. You like that? That was fun?
Well, if you know David Riddick, I mean, he was there when we signed him. He's a very exuberant guy. He did a snow angel after the second post. When McDavid hit the post, he did a snow angel. Throws the stick, does it. But he's that exuberant. He's that kind of kid. He's the kind of kid, if he comes down at Christmas and finds a pile of pony turds under the tree, he runs upstairs and gets a rope, and parents say, what are you doing? He said, he couldn't have got far. I'm going to catch the pony. Like, he's an eternal optimist. So he's always in a good mood, which is a great asset for a team. So that's David Riddick. Now, if I'm on Edmonton, am I going to bump him Saturday night if I get a chance after that? Yep.
Probably. Yep.
This is all good. Everyone's doing the right thing.
I'm with you. I think this is entertaining stuff. No one's leaving on stretchers. It's good. Before we leave the Pacific completely, the Canucks last night, down going into the third, get the victory, and it was a tough night for Santa. Thomas Hertl is now gone for the season, so there was a lot of significance out of that game last night. From what you're seeing from Vancouver, does that look like a first-place club to you? And B, what does Thomas Hertl and that injury do to maybe even the trade deadline coming up? Sharks look like they are more than out of it right now.
Well, he's such a good player, and Logan Couture is still hurt. I don't see how they come out of that missing two significant parts like that. I really don't. Thomas Hertl is a really underrated player. The guys that play on the West Coast that are really good players don't get talked about in Toronto enough.
Right.
And he's a really good player, and he's supposed to be a really good kid too. This is really a shame. But I don't see it as something that they can come back from because they're already having such trouble. They're stuck in the sand so badly already. To lose a player of that caliber on top of Logan Couture, who I love, I can't see them getting back into this thing. Now, who knows, right? You never know.
And in terms of Vancouver, you buying what they're selling?
Yeah, as long as the goaltending, as long as the goaltender stays healthy, this guy's been, I mean, you got to start talking Vezina here at some point for this guy. He's been unreal. He's been lights out. And they've got two lines scoring now. You know, Jim Benning went out and got JT Miller. And everyone said it was too much, first round pick and whatever else he gave. And I remember saying at the time on TV, it's easy to be right in the media after it happens, right? But I said at the time, I really like this player, and I think it's given them a legitimate first line, second line. They've got some balance now. They can play him with the big boys or move him down. He wins faceoffs. He kills penalties. He scores goals. He can fight. I think it's given them a different look. I think it's given them some swagger and bite up front. I like their captain, Bo Horvat. I think that was the right choice for the captain. I love their young guys, Besser and Pettersson. Yeah. And their defense is underrated, but they've gotten star-quality goaltending from the start of the year. If that continues, yeah, they're legit.
All right, let's move to the East. Leafs, another entertaining game.
Yeah, they were good last night.
Held on. Has anything in the last two games post-All-Star break helped ease the nerves of Leaf Nation that were maybe going into the break, into the bye week after one win in six games? Has anything changed over the last couple games to make you think, oh, yeah, maybe they figured it out a little bit?
Well, this is Toronto. Yeah. Of course it's changed. I saw people out in front of Scotiabank Arena today measuring the railroad bridge height to see if the floats could get under it. So they won two games, and now they're picking out the parade route.
Just don't pick the Raptors parade route. That took a while.
Yeah. There was cause for concern, not because they were losing, but they were getting manhandled, and their defensive system seemed to have broken down completely against Chicago. They gave up so many quality chances, Winnipeg. So I think there's legitimate cause for concern. They were sharp in these two games. They were really sharp. I didn't think Nashville was inspired at all, but I thought they got a good game back from Dallas last night, and they had a real early storm they had to withstand. They were good. Nylander was really good last night. Freddie was good when he had to be. But I think if I'm a season ticket holder, which I am, I'm a season ticket holder at least, I do support the team. The guy I'd be most excited about would be Sandin in his first year. Marner's two assists last night are incredible. Both highlight reels.
Yeah. Spectacular.
Like these are plays, there's only maybe a dozen players in the league can make that play. Mitch Marner had two seeing eye dog assists last night, like magical assists. But the guy I'd be most excited about maybe is watching Rasmus Sandin. Yeah. He was really good. Really good, physical, made good passes, really impressive.
Sandin's looking good. And they're playing him smart minutes. You know, they're not demanding too much yet. So, and he's looking good. Willie Nylander now 5 goals in 5 games. But Austin Matthews, 17 goals in his last 17 games. One back of Pasternak. And people talked about his contract at the time, especially outside of Toronto, with some disdain with how it came about, not enough term, yada, yada, yada. In your opinion, Berkey, if Matthews wins the Rocket Richard Trophy this year, does it change people's perspective on the contract given by Kyle Dubas?
Well, what does Pasternak make? I'm confused.
I'll look it up. It ain't what Matthews is
getting. No, not
it starts with an
eight.
So who's third in the goal scoring?
Ovechkin.
Third is Ovechkin, correct.
Yeah, his starts with an 8.
Pasternak's at 6.67.
Yeah, that's a good
deal.
That
contract being that bargain.
That's a hell of a good deal.
Do you want to rephrase the question?
Yeah, let's talk about Nylander a little bit. And
no, it's not going to change the fact that this contract was way higher than it needed to be. What it does is it stops people talking about it because he's putting up the numbers. I think he's a great young player. And I said this on TV last night. He's just scratching the surface. He's a goal a game for 17 games. He's better than that because he hasn't figured out how to throw people around yet, how to throw people off. He's so big and so strong. He's scoring now with a great release, a great shot. He's got one of the best shots in the league, if not the best. But he's going to figure out. He did it the other night. Someone kind of glommed onto him, and he just threw him off. And
you mean physically throw him off, not just with a deke. You mean
physically manhandle people. And throw people out of the way and shrug through checks and fight through checks. He's just figuring that part out, and as great as he is already, he's going to be better.
Yeah,
we got about 1:40 left with the one and only Brian Burke after a phenomenal night of hockey last night. Trade deadline's fast approaching, Monday, February 24th. The Leafs, as is per usual this time of year, are rumored to be looking at defensemen. That is what everyone's talking about because that makes sense. But with this roster, the way it's formulated, some names are going to have to go here. So if you're going to bring in some money, there's got to be some money going out. Who on the roster right now, Berkey, you look at and say, there's no way if Kyle Dubas brings in a defenseman, this player is still here.
Well, the only, I mean, Janssen, Kapanen, these are likely suspects. But the only way, the names they're talking about are like Matt Dumba. Well, I can't imagine Minnesota wants to move Matt Dumba. I love him. He's a right shot defenseman. He can skate. He's a great kid. He plays hard. Let's see if you trade him. Who steps up on that one? But assuming they are, you're not going to get a player of that caliber for players like Andreas Janssen and Kapanen. You're not. It's that simple. And volume won't help. You can't, you know, it's like you say to a guy you want to buy a giraffe, he says, no, so I'll give you 2 for 1. Well, the guy didn't want 2 giraffes either. So 2 for 1 doesn't help.
Best giraffe analogy I've ever heard.
So, you know, to me, it's going to be tough. They're capped out. But I will say this. Kyle's a smart guy. And I have faith that if there's any way to do this, he will figure it out. I just can't see it. With the cap situation and the pieces they have, I can't see it. And I hope I'm on this show admitting I was wrong in a month.
Okay. We shall see. Brian Burke, who will be part of our February 24th trade deadline coverage, I think, right? I'm assuming you're
sure,
there?
Yeah.
All right. I haven't seen the schedule, but I'm assuming Burke is there.
I'm on trade deadline, yes. I love the trade deadline.
I need more giraffe analogies on my trade deadline. Thanks, Berkey. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, guys.
Time to say goodbye to those of you watching on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 360. Up next on Sportsnet, the Raptors pregame show. We'll get you set for the Raps and Cavs from
By
Cleveland.
By the way, new all-star.
Shams
Charania.
By the way, Kyle
Tweeting
Lowry
it out.
Reporting. Kyle Lowry is an all-star. Not official
reporting.
Yet.
Reporting.
Sorry. Hockey Central coming up on Sportsnet 360. And a reminder, 10:30 Eastern tonight, we are replaying Kobe Bryant's 81-point game against the Raptors 14 years ago. Tim and Sid continues on Sportsnet 590. The Fan in 60 seconds. Talk to you then.
Yeah, it's a podcast, but we're still not going to let him swear. Subscribe to Tim and Sid at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand.
Welcome back, everybody. Listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, I am Sid Zaccaro. Faisal Khamiza is joining me here in the Tim and Sid studios. Tim McAuliffe is off today. Chris Johnson of Sportsnet will get to CJ in just a second, but I want to reiterate what Faisal said before the break. According to Shams Charania of The Athletic and Stadium, Kyle Lowry will be named as an Eastern Conference reserve.
No doubt.
Hit him. Hit him with it.
Was that the one?
That's the one.
Woo!
So it's according to Shams, who is never wrong. Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam will be going to the All-Star Game February 16th. In Chicago.
Hey, Nick Nurse could be joining them. They really need two wins in their next three games to get there for him to be there.
It sounded like Nick was going to blow a gasket if Kyle Lowry was not there.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard him yesterday before the game, but he was having none of that. So again, good. Kyle Lowry reportedly is heading to the All-Star Game, and congratulations to Kyle Lowry 6 years in a row. One of our All-Stars, Chris Johnson of Sportsnet.ca and Hockey Night in Canada joining us. CJ was in Dallas last night as the Leafs took on the Stars. How you doing, CJ?
I'm doing well. What's going on, guys?
That looked like a fun game last night.
Well, it was a really good game, and I think a good test for the Leafs, because Dallas is a team entering the night that had the stingiest defense in the league. Obviously, we know Toronto's trying to go about getting its business done, and I think they showed, as they have in some previous games as well, that defense isn't the only way to win. And you know, the Leafs took control early, scored some goals against a team that doesn't give up a lot, and it was led by the big players making some nice plays. So, you know, that's kind of the way the Leafs drew it up or envisioned it when they signed all these guys to the contracts they did.
Chris, a team that struggles and then all of a sudden keeps a lead in a hockey game over a couple of nights, to me that's a huge sign. Did that impress you as much as well? Because I know Sheldon Keefe really challenged this group after the Chicago game, to see them not blow leads and things getting a little shaky late, but not really bend but not break, so to speak. Did that speak to you as well?
For sure, and let's call it as it is. I mean, the Leafs got some tough goaltending before the All-Star break, and I don't think Frederik Andersen was at his best the last couple weeks, you know, leading into the break. It's not solely on him. Obviously, the Leafs are a team that give up a lot of odd man rushes and high danger chances. It's not easy to be their goaltender just because of the system of play and the personnel they have, but you know, I think that the fact that he played well both in Nashville and Dallas helped make things look better. And you know, I do think in general the break seemed to help them, to give them a chance to step away, obviously, and, you know, like teams around the league. The guys get a chance to take a break, but, you know, when they came back this week, you know, one thing Sheldon Keefe really tried to highlight was, okay, they had six tough games right before the All-Star break, but if they looked at the 26 games they had played as a whole, going back to when he replaced Mike Babcock, a lot of good things had happened. And, you know, it seems to me that they were able to channel into some of the things they were doing well before the little skid at the break. And, you know, they need these points at this time because they had dug a little bit of a hole, you know, in the playoff race.
What have you made of Rasmus Sandin so far? I saw him bounce off Jamie Benn yesterday, make a couple good passes, another very fluid skating game, it seems. What have been your thoughts up close on Sandin? I remember us speaking a couple weeks ago when the move was made that there might be some growing pains, but it feels as if he's fit in relatively comfortably given his, you know, inexperience so far.
Yeah, he's been a revelation. You know, I think he's been excellent, just given how young he is. I mean, there's not that many defensemen that play in the NHL under age 20. This year you have two that have played more than him, and Adam Boqvist in Chicago and Rasmus Dahlin, and he's number three on that list. I mean, it's relatively exclusive company to be playing NHL games at this stage. And I think, you know, what stands out about Sandin is he just plays with poise and confidence despite some of that inexperience or you know, lack of age. And, you know, he doesn't appear afraid to make plays, and we've seen him have a number of nice ones so far. So I think this is a huge step for him to get to play these games. They're bigger games even than the ones he experienced in October when he cracked the Leafs lineup for a time at a training camp. And, you know, we just haven't seen the moment ever look too big for this guy. And so I think it says a lot of great things about the future for Sandin, but, you know, the present's going pretty well as well. And the Leafs need that with Morgan Rielly still out for a number of weeks, nursing his broken foot and you know, some of the things team's going through. This is depth they didn't have last year, a player that could step in and take these strides. And you know, I think everyone should.
Chris Johnson here on Sport. Oh, sorry, CJ. Player. Sorry, I cut you off. CJ, finish the thought. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying there's lots of reasons to be excited about this guy. I think the Leafs organization's pumped, and he might make it hard on them, you know, when Rielly comes back about whether Definitely. He stays in the lineup or not.
Definitely. Chris Johnson here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. CJ, people forget, you know, when the All-Star break comes around, sometimes the conversation is, well, this guy needs a break or that guy needs a break. We forget what schedule Rasmus Sandin was on before that All-Star break going through back the entire month, don't we? Like, this kid was playing a lot of hockey in various parts of the world.
Yeah, it was insane. I mean, he went to the Czech Republic. Well, first he went to Sweden, where Team Sweden had a bit of a camp, and then he went to the Czech Republic, played in the World Junior Tournament, was playing over 30 minutes a game in some of those games. He was the best player, you know, certainly the best defenseman in the tournament, one of the best players, full stop. He came back to North America, was home for one night, and flew down to Texas with the Toronto Marlies, played a game there, got recalled by the Leafs, was, you know, played a couple NHL games. I think he probably benefited from that break almost as much as anyone after that because he was able to get to Florida with a couple of the guys and chill out and rest his body a little bit. And, you know, certainly not anything he's complained about, but, you know, jumping across the ocean, playing the amount of minutes he's played, playing in different leagues, being put under certain stresses. You know, I think that it's part of the story, though. I mean, that he played well despite all those things. But, you know, certainly I think he's feeling a little better this week after getting a few days of rest. And, you know, between him and Frederik Andersen, I think there's a good debate about which Leaf in particular benefited most from the break. And you know, clearly those are two guys that really needed it.
CJ, Kyle Dubas watching Sandin's development, knowing full well probably another defenseman is needed. Does Sandin's improved play here as we go along, does it change anything for Dubas? Or is he still of the, all right, I need a specific, if possible, top four guy between now and February 24th?
I don't think it changes too much. You know, it's probably encouraging, though, because next year, let's face it, the Leafs are going to rely on Sandin to play minutes right from the get-go just because they don't have that many players signed at that position, and the salary cap is going to continue to be an issue. I think, you know, from Toronto's perspective, though, the focus has to be on finding another player that can play the right-hand side of the blue line. I guess it's always possible one of those solutions is in-house, whether it be someone like Sandin down the road or Travis Dermott. Obviously, Timothy Liljegren's coming through the organization still, and he's a right shot. But I think, you know, when we're looking at this trade deadline, You know, they're trying to address that one specific need, which is probably the biggest organizational hole or question mark. And if they can get a trade done, I think for someone that can come in now and help out, but also be there beyond the season, you know, someone who's under contract for years to come, you know, that's probably a deal that they'll pursue if they can make everything line up quite nicely. So, you know, Sandin's emergence doesn't really affect that as a left shot too much. But I do think that, you know, in the big picture, that the organization has to feel a little better about where it stands, just given how well he's played and the fact that there are some larger question marks over what this blue line looks like beyond this season.
Jake Muzzin on the blue line next season?
Certainly possible. You know, Jake Muzzin wants to be in Toronto. I think the Leafs want him to be here. Now there's only so much that the organization can do to keep him because they have to be worried about their cap commitments. But, you know, the fact that you have two parties at least entering some accelerated discussions on a contract, wanting to get something done, I think it increases the odds that that happens. And, you know, he's been a really good fit. It's just over a year since the Leafs acquired Jake Muzzin in that trade. I think he brings an element of defensive play, a little bit of physical play, and certainly some intangibles and leadership qualities as an experienced guy who's won a Stanley Cup that fit nicely with this group. And, you know, at first, I don't know that Jake Muzzin loved the spotlight of being in the big city. Was it an adjustment for him? But he's settled in quite nicely now as a Leaf, and, you know, we'll see if he and the organization can hammer something out. But I certainly think there's real intent there to get a contract done, and, you know, that's a good start because it doesn't always begin that way in these kinds of situations.
CJ, everyone today is chiming in with their take of that Oilers-Flames game last night. I'll give the floor to you. I don't look back on it with anything other than joy. I thought it was a fun night of hockey.
It was awesome. You know, because I was covering the game in Dallas, I missed the first half, but caught the second half of the game. Obviously, you know what happened when I wasn't watching because the highlights were going around. And, you know, for me, what was great about it is we so rarely in hockey, I mean, there's tons of games, that you get this feeling that there's a game of the night or game of the week. And that was a game that literally the entire league was glued to and was talking about. You know, people in the press box at the game I was at, players or the Nashville Predators players rather in Washington were gathered around a TV watching it after their game there. You know, it was a real moment and one of those games that lived up to some of the hype and the discussion that led into it. And, you know, obviously some element of this is about fighting, but I think really what people are drawn to is that, you know, the competitive nature of the sport when it's at its best is really appealing, is really fun to watch. And then those teams have now done it in two straight games, the one that got everyone excited back on January 11th. And then last night, and I just think it's awesome that they'll play again Saturday and you know, probably have everyone peel to it again. So, you know, it's tough to stand out among as many games as there are in a regular season, but the Flames and Oilers both deserve credit for the way they've played and the competitiveness. And if there's a hockey god somewhere, we're going to see these teams play in the playoffs, you know, in a few months' time.
Chris Johnson here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. CJ, one last thing before we let you go. And it's not hockey related. We know how unabashed Cowboys fan you are. You love you some football. It's been a weird week where we haven't talked enough Super Bowl compared to other years for obvious reasons, but I want to give you the floor. The actual end result of the game this weekend, Chiefs and Niners. Which way are you leaning?
I'm leaning Chiefs. You know, I think that Patrick Mahomes is going to get it done for them. And, you know, it's been impressive the way San Fran's gone through, you know, with running the ball, not having to use Jimmy G too much to throw it. But, you know, I like the Chiefs in this game. I think it's going to be a great matchup. If I can't have my Cowboys in the game, these are two pretty good neutral teams that I don't have any allegiance towards. But I think Kansas City is going to win that Super Bowl, and that'll be a pretty cool moment for Andy Reid, too, if that happens.
I'm with you. I think it's going to be a coronation. I don't think it's going to be close. I'm not saying like Niners Chargers back in the day when Jerry Rice is in the end zone four times, but I think this is a Patrick Mahomes superstar moment, and I think it's one we'll never forget. Chris, we always appreciate it, man.
Sid, if you're right, you should lay some money on that. You could probably catch.
Well, the second I lay money on it, then it doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
I know how
this goes.
CJ, I know me.
That doesn't usually stop people like Frege.
No, no, but I'm not a degenerate gambler. Yeah. Oh. Not that Frege is. Frege is not. I'm just saying. For entertainment purposes only. Entertainment purposes only.
Exactly.
Thanks, man. Have a good night.
All right. See you, boys.
There's the one and only Chris Johnston of Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada. One of our favorites joining us here.
I just like him, man. I really like Chris.
He's good. Let's start there. Chris Johnston's good.
That's part of the reason, of course.
He works hard. He's reliable.
He's a very nice guy.
He's got good sources.
Yeah.
And he's in one day, I hope, to be as physically fit as Chris Johnston. Honestly.
It won't take one day.
All right. Listen, we usually, the what we missed portion of the show here, we've got about 10 minutes to go on the show. The what we missed portion is it's a smorgasbord of stuff that we kind of throw together. And some of it's more entertaining than others. I have a bombshell of a tweet that we're going to start with. Let's hit the opening, and then I'll hit you with the tweet. Opening.
What we missed.
This is the part of the show where we talk about what we missed. Okay. So the Tom Brady speculation, right? Loses the playoff game to the Titans. The second that game came to an end, the question was, what is giving with Tom Brady? Where will he be next year? He's a free agent. Is he going to be back with the Patriots? Is he going to the Chargers? Is some other team going to show? Is he just going to retire? What is the deal with Tom Brady? So here's what we're going to do, and at Tim and Sid is how you can help us out. Tom Brady just tweeted something out I do not understand, but Twitter is losing its mind because of.
You're losing your mind because of.
You better believe it.
And you set it up like, I have a tweet that's going to blow your mind. We don't know what this means.
All right, here's the tweet. I'm going to describe the tweet that I'm looking at on my computer. From Tom Brady's Twitter account, and I'm assuming he posted this on Instagram as well. It is strictly a picture. It is a black and white photo. It is a black and white photo of someone who I assume is Tom Brady wearing a jacket, either walking towards an arena or a stadium or walking back into the dressing room, leaving a stadium. This is a very complicated photo, which obviously everyone on Twitter is trying to hack. To me, this is just my opinion on this. And Faisal Khamis and I are seeing this for the first time.
Live.
And I'd encourage Seb and Dagan and Joe, if they want to take a look at this as well. This, to me, looks like a silhouette of Tom Brady leaving Gillette Stadium for the last time and walking into the back into the parking lot. That's what I think I'm seeing. Is there anyone else in this room who believes this is a silhouette of Tom Brady leaving Gillette Stadium for what could be the last time? Because I'll hear the argument that it could be Tom Brady walking back.
This is a genius.
Photo.
Oh my gosh,
Joe, what do you think?
I agree.
You agree with what?
You agree
he's
that
two
he's
things.
Leaving Gillette or walking into Gillette?
You can't see his face.
That's
why it's so smart.
You
think he's so good?
Okay, Seb thinks he's walking into Gillette. Dagan.
Walking out.
I got to be honest, didn't care for your opinion to begin with.
You did ask him, though.
But I did
you
ask
haven't
him.
Asked me yet, but okay.
Faisal, okay, so this is a piece of art I'm looking at right here. From a freaking out Twitter perspective, this is Picasso.
This is as
genius as you could possibly get. Faisal Khamis, when you look at this photo, and obviously we'll send it out at Tim and Sid, and you'll get to see it as well. What do you see?
Oh, my God. I see nothing and everything at the same
this
time.
This is brilliant,
you know?
Is it not? So what does it mean?
A true work of art.
What does it mean, though?
I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know.
So if you're tapping out on this, you're quitting on me. Don't quit on me now,
no, Khamis. Is that another reference from this movie?
No.
Oh, it's just you care about me.
No, but tonight on Netflix, watch Good Will Hunting, for God's sakes. It's one of the greatest movies of all
time.
Do you guys not think Good Will Hunting is one of the greatest movies of all time? Yes. So Faisal
Wait a minute.
See.
You changed your opinion mad quick.
It's a fantastic movie. It's better than a good movie. A good movie is like Anchorman. That's a good movie.
Okay, I have an opinion.
That's not a. It's a great movie is Good Will Hunting.
I have an opinion.
Go ahead, Faisal.
This is nothing.
No,
this is Tom Brady wanting to. He's really good at this. And you know what? We're not talking about Tom Brady during the Super Bowl for the first time in forever. Now we are. And that is all Tom wanted. Never count out touchdown Tom.
Right.
Because he can do things like this. I don't know, but I don't think it's anything.
Listen, I'm Quinn at Tim and Sid says he looks like San Diego. He means L.A. and the Chargers. Quinn, I know what you're talking about. Like the tweets are flying in here.
They're good.
I believe this is a photo of Tom Brady walking out of Gillette Stadium for the last time. Brian Leach at Tim and Sid, he's walking away. Hello, San Diego.
Yo, guys, again, they play in L.A. LA. They play guys, in L.A.
It's the L.A. Chargers.
Ian Rappaport said, you got to put a dollar into the suite. Yeah, I remember this week.
But Ian Rappaport this week knew he'd make that mistake numerous times
that's
himself.
Yeah.
So, first off, it's the L.A. Chargers. If we're going to have this fun speculation, let us not say San Diego ever again. I believe it's a picture of Tom Brady walking out of Gillette. I want you on the record, Faisal, before we move on.
Okay.
What do you think this photo is that Tom Brady just posted? In your opinion, in your humble opinion, there is no right or wrong at this point because we don't know.
He leaving.
Leaving Gillette.
Leaving Gillette.
I'm right there with him.
Leaving Gillette.
I'm right there with you. Okay, let's move on. Sticking with the football theme.
Damn.
We move on. We're going to revisit this tomorrow. Chiefs and Niners continue to get ready for Super Bowl 54. We are less than 72 hours from kickoff. There hasn't been a ton of talking points so far this week until now. Andy Reid gave us this clip today. I want you to listen to this carefully, Faisal, and everyone listening on pod or in their cars right now. What is Andy Reid trying to tell us? Let's play the clip.
Those 9 grandkids are awesome. So they keep you young and at the same time make you feel old. It's kind of like sweet and sour pork.
I'm sorry, what?
What the hell did he just say about sweet and sour pork? They keep you young and old like sweet and sour pork?
That's a good bar, by the way. That's a good bar. I need Drake to throw that in a song. Oh, that's a good bar.
Sweet and sour pork, keeping you young, keeping you old. I'm friends with Meek Mill now. So okay. What don't I know about sweet and sour pork that makes you feel young and old?
Oh, I'm not the guy to answer that.
It sounds like there's
pork.
An experience with sweet and sour pork.
I have no idea.
Can I hear the clip one more time, guys?
Yeah, let's play it again.
Sweet and sour pork makes you feel young and old.
Those 9 grandkids are awesome. So they keep you young and at the same time make you feel old. It's kind of like sweet and sour pork.
That is, honestly, I just think he's hungry.
Well, the cheeseburger thing, right?
There's no deep meaning. I think Andy Reid, God bless Andy Reid. He's won more football games as a coach than I'll ever win.
You're getting up there, though.
The man is getting hangry. You know what I mean? So he's just saying some weird stuff. Going back to the Tom Brady photo, Wayne at Tim and Sid, look at his shoes. He's walking out.
No, dude.
Look at the photo again.
I'm looking
I think Wayne's right.
No,
I think
he's
wrong. Shoes, if you look at the shoes, he's walking out.
It could easily be the heel of the shoe being up, walking the other way. Oh, man. No. This is the dress thing. You remember the dress? What color is the dress? This is this all over again.
I don't know, man.
Guys, I don't.
Jordan Rocca, this is a Tom Brady Super Bowl ad for either Peloton or milk.
It's weird. Actually, my first thought was that, okay, this is Tom Brady in a commercial. This is Tom Brady endorsing something. Rain.
All right, let's move on here quickly.
All right.
We got about 3 minutes. Aussie Open. No, you know what, guys? Let's go to the Super Bowl halftime. Let's keep it football related here. Real Super Bowl halftime. Jennifer Lopez and Shakira had their pre-Super Bowl press conference today, Faisal, before the two perform during Sunday's halftime show. And there's going to be a lot of cameos for that. Faisal, you're a big pop culture guy. On a scale of 1 to 10, how good do you think the halftime show will be at the Super Bowl?
I think it's going to be pretty good. I think it's going to be pretty good. This is great. I think we're going to see
pretty good.
No, I think it's going to be pretty good.
Okay.
Listen, look, the expectations are what? They're always so high and they're never going to hit that. Like, okay. So I think pretty good is a satisfactory answer.
I don't think it's going to be good at all because I think Shakira is.
I think you'll see more Miami in the house than you think.
There's going to be a lot of Miami.
I think you'll see Pitbull show up.
Rick Ross?
Rick Ross might show up. Yeah. Money in the crew.
Who else are we expecting? Gloria Stefan? She's still alive?
No. Not relevant. Get out.
That's a morbid question. Gloria Stefan's not going to be in the sound Miami. It's the Miami sound machine. Gloria Stefan and Miami aren't going to be part of a Super Bowl halftime in Miami.
You're trying to keep young people watching your television set?
No, but it's more of a tribute.
Come on. I get it.
I'm going down the road.
It's not a tribute anymore.
If you're saying a tribute to Miami.
Here's what I think is going to come out. Beyonce.
Beyonce's not doing that.
Okay.
Beyonce
is. Who's in charge of this halftime thing now?
Beyonce's not.
Jay-Z.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Jay-Z.
Repeat it, though, because I think people have forgotten that. Jay-Z is producing this, right?
Jay-Z is producing this.
Right.
They brought him in. It was a big deal.
All right. But again, I don't think Beyonce is a team player like that.
Who do you think is coming out?
I think Nicki Minaj will come out.
Okay.
I think a little Nicki Minaj.
That's a bold guess.
Well, I saw there was an end. There was a we were talking about with Nate Burleson last week. There was a
like the fake rundown.
There was a fake set list that somebody or a real set list that somebody found, and there was an N as a Nancy and an M as a Mary numerous times throughout the set list.
Okay.
So could Nicki Minaj. N M. I mean, it was Nicki. It's got to be Nicki Minaj. So
Nicki Jam.
Oh, you need some
You need some.
You need some reggaeton.
I think you'll get. I think you'll get some.
J Balvin, is that his name?
Oh, okay.
J Balvin.
Yeah.
Balvin.
Yeah, you're getting closer. I know what you're talking about. Everybody knows what you're talking about. If you know reggaeton, you know it.
No, you need some reggaeton. By the way, the Latin Grammys didn't give that the respect this year.
Never do.
Did you see that?
They never do.
Latin music and reggaeton have this really weird kind of relationship right now. And nobody knows what to make of it, and there's some real animosity.
You know what? I wish I was back tomorrow so we could dissect that a little bit more.
What?
That was the Latin Grammys and the lack of respect to reggaeton.
I'm a Latin music guy.
Nicki Jam, Bad Bunny? Come on, guys.
That's a good call, though, on your end. I like that. FaZe, I love you. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Again, Kyle Lowry is an all-star, according to Shams. He's going for a sixth straight year. That is the report. Tom Brady has set the internet ablaze. We'll talk about it tomorrow for FaZe. I'm Sid.
Calvary,
have a good
baby.
Night. Thanks for listening. What is Tom Brady getting at? Honestly.